Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
With me is Willie King, author of the Dividend Titan blog. How's the writing been going?
Excellent, Michelle. It has been keeping me busy because earnings season is here, which means that I'm probably going to be writing less and probably reading up more on some of the financial reports, which I've been keeping up to date, you know, with the US earnings and even Singapore REITs as well. I mean, there are a couple of business updates coming out from the REITs, and it's interesting like how the REIT sector in Singapore, they are also trying to push out with a bit more quarterly reporting as opposed to just half-yearly release.
Which means a lot more reports to read. And let's get to it. Market watchers have lots of corporate earnings to digest this morning. I want to start with Tesla. Its stock has been beaten down during the first part of this year. Its first quarter profits, not so good either, but there are signs of a turnaround, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, a closer look at the numbers for everybody. Tesla's revenue dropped 9% during the first quarter of the year. That's not great, but what is even worse are its profit numbers. Net earnings plunged more than 50% compared with a year earlier, from $2.5 billion in the first quarter of 2023 to just a little bit more than $1 billion in the first quarter of the year. So I guess the big question is, what is behind Tesla's dismal performance?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you have lower average pricing for Tesla itself. The company has already said that they are expecting to cut prices and at the same time also reducing their volume growth. This is really because of the intense competition in electric vehicles. I mean, if you look at Tesla, they have been focusing on trying to get out with more slightly higher pricing point car models, vehicle models, trying to keep themselves ahead. But it seems like the market is looking at it the other way around, where you're telling people that a lot of the companies, electric vehicle companies and even the joint ventures, they're coming in to sort of start eating up Tesla's market share. And this doesn't bode well for the electric vehicle company, because if you see how the deliveries have been, it has dropped to about 380,000 deliveries so far, as compared to a year before where they actually sold like about 400 plus thousand. So this is something which has affected its profitability.
So the first quarter wasn't great, that's for sure, but Tesla's stock is surging in after-hours trade. In fact, it's currently up 13%. What's driving this enthusiasm, you ask? Well, Elon Musk has announced plans to speed up the production of cheaper vehicles, including a car that's expected to cost just $25,000. Tesla says it will use existing production lines to create this car, and production could start as early as this year. What do you make of Tesla's moves here?
I think Elon Musk knows that the automobile industry can be very, very cutthroat, because at the end of the day, if you think about consumers, if you can get a cheaper car, why not? And revenues at the end of the day to companies are driven by two things. Number one, average selling price. Number two, the amount of volume. And if you want to increase the volume with all this competition coming in, the only way to do it is to reduce selling prices. And this is probably what Tesla is trying to do. And it's trying to kickstart selling its new models cheaper, more affordable new models as soon as possible.
Let's zoom out and take a look at broader markets now. Stocks on Wall Street rallied for the second straight session overnight as markets claw back some of their losses from earlier in the month. The Nasdaq jumped more than 1.5%. S&P 500 closed up 1.2%. The Dow finished higher as well. A weaker than expected report on U.S. business activity helped prop up, support the market. This is a case of bad news being good, as weaker business numbers could also weaken the case for the Fed to keep interest rates high. Meanwhile, over in London, the FTSE 100 hit a record high yesterday. It's trading above the 8,000 mark at 8044. Over the past year, London has underperformed the US markets, but it appears to be making up ground now. The FTSE is up 7.5% over the past 3 months. If you had to choose between investing in the US and London, you know I have to ask you these questions. Right now, if you would have to make that choice right now, what would it be?
For me right now, Michelle.
Don't say both.
Okay. For me, I would actually look at the Hong Kong market, and primarily because it really eats into my contrarian instinct. For me, I always like something which is different, something which is unique. And to be honest here, Michelle, I must admit that I do have a soft spot for the Chinese market, and especially for Hong Kong, because it's much easier to travel there. And on top of that, you know, it's very familiar, you know, with the food and everything. Having said that, of course, you have London companies, many of the UK companies, where you have Rolls-Royce being one of the biggest drivers in the FTSE index recently. And of course, you have the likes of Unilever. Those actually presents pretty good opportunities. And of course, I would, as an investor, if there are actually good opportunities, not just the Hong Kong market, I'll also be looking at the London market if there are actually specific opportunities to be looking at.
And you have done the groundwork, boots on the ground in Hong Kong. I know you've made several trips there.
I hope to be going there again later this year. I mean, I hope this will be an annual trip for me, Michelle.
Wonderful. So Hong Kong, we've talked a little bit on this show about how Chinese regulators are making it easier for mainland investors to buy shares in Hong Kong. The latest figures show that mainland investors now account for 1/3 of total Hong Kong market turnover. So does this sort of add to the bullishness, you think, on Hong Kong listed stocks in general in Asia?
Yeah, I mean, if you see over the last couple of years, Hong Kong has been a really struggling bear market. I mean, since 2018, it has suffered quite a series of bad luck. Number one, you have the US-China trade war. You have US trying to squeeze out the tariffs coming out from China. And on top of that, you also have the extradition law. Plus, you have the Hong Kong Occupy protest along Central as well. That was in 2018. Then, shortly after, you had COVID, which hit a shutdown the entire city. And of course, last but not least, you have China with their property debt crisis and their tech clampdown. So that has really affected Hong Kong. But if you see, despite it having struggled for quite a while, It has actually grew more than 5 times since the 1990s, if you look at the Hang Seng Index.
Wow.
Even though, you know, it has been going up and down like a whipsaw in the index, if you see historically.
A Hang Seng Index is up nearly 10% over the past 3 months, is what I can see from here. It's still in negative territory for the year and trading well off its pre-pandemic highs. Thank you for that historical view on Hong Kong, Willie. Time for corporate news and our daily game, up or down style. So we break it down into two rounds. One is the global round and one is the local round. So let's get started with the French luxury goods company, Kering. They are the owner of Gucci. Up or down?
Kering is a down for me after it reported sort of a poorer sales here, really driven by the back office, one of its star label, Gucci. It doesn't seem to be doing pretty well. Number one, it's not performing in the Chinese market. And at the same time, the plans to actually revamp and try to upmarket the brand itself hasn't really come into fruition. So going forward, it seems like management is trying to reinvest more money into the business. But that means that it could actually kill profit margins for the company.
Kering is warning that its profits will plunge in the first half of the year as the crisis at Gucci, which is its biggest brand, deepens. Operating income is expected to drop as much as 45% in the first 6 months of the year as sales in China are faltering. That is definitely a down for Gucci and its parent company, Kering. Next up, let's look at Visa.
Visa is an up for me after the payment network operator Giant has reported a quarterly profit that beat Wall Street's earned estimates as US credit card spending starts to continue to grow. I mean, if you see, its adjusted net profit has actually rose about 17%. And this really came on the back after Visa and its rival MasterCard has agreed to settle one of the most significant antitrust settlements to limit swipe fees and allow US merchants to charge consumers higher for using credit cards. So it does seem like the company that Visa is in is not only a good inflation hedge, but it also is a great representation on how the US economy is doing.
Visa stock is moving higher in extended hours trading today thanks to higher than expected earnings and continued growth in consumer spending. So I join you with that up for Visa. Visa shares, by the way, are up nearly 20% over the past year. And now the brand I cannot do without, Spotify.
Spotify is an up for me after it also result a revenue and profit beats estimates. And this really comes on the back of its efficient strategy. So the audio giant has actually swung to profits. And this really was on the back where it has tried to raise prices from about $1 to $2 a month in 5 different markets, including UK, Australia and Pakistan. And all these changes are expected to also come at the end of April. So it does seem like Spotify is starting to show some form of pricing power.
It is. Spotify earnings topped 1 billion euros produced during the first quarter of the year. That's a lot of songs. The better-than-expected profit numbers are the results of cost-cutting measures during the past year. Spotify shares closed up 11% overnight. Next up, a city I'd like to visit again so I can pull on my boots. How's the city of Nashville looking?
Well, it seems like a lot of companies are actually moving together with you, Michelle. Oracle, Dell, and Amazon. I mean, Oracle is the latest to actually move to Nashville, and it seems like it's one of the top destinations for companies to relocate or expand operations, largely because it has a low unemployment rate, and it seems to be a community where you have your culture, you have affluence of people in there. So I guess that sort of attracts people, I guess, white-collar or high-salary jobs into the city, and that inevitably also attracts talent.
Yeah, people want to live in Nashville for good reason. So tech giant Oracle building a new big campus in the city by the river. It says it will look more like a park than an industrial area. I'm sure the residents of Nashville appreciate that. The city is also a healthcare hub besides being a country music hub. And Nashville now going to be Oracle's new headquarters. So I'd say that's definitely an up for Music City. All right, time for round two of Up or Down. And for this, let's bring the conversation, swing it back to Asia. Willie, first up, Chabaidao. This is a Chinese bubble tea maker that is listed in Hong Kong. Yesterday, I put it in just for you, knowing you're a bubble tea fan.
I tried to stop myself from the sugar rush by drinking again.
Does it help?
shares of Chinese bubble tea chain Chabaidao has tumbled almost 40% on its trading debut. And this actually just got listed. It's one of the largest listing in Hong Kong for 2024 so far. And it has raised about 2.6 billion Hong Kong dollars. It is considered the third largest bubble tea chain in China after it's able to actually turbocharge and expand its chain to more than 8,000 stores using its franchise business model. But it doesn't seem like shares has been doing very well, partly, I guess, because of the sort of not so good news surrounding the Hong Kong market. You can see how the Hong Kong market has traded at a very, very low valuation at about 7 times price to earnings compared to, say, the US S&P 500. So that could be one reason why the shares isn't performing in this market today.
So listing price $17.50 Hong Kong, but out of the gate, pretty much crash 40% below that issue price. So that Hong Kongers might love bubble tea, but they did not show Chabaidao any love yesterday. UOI is United Overseas Insurance, and we're looking at this next. This is the insurance arm of UOB.
This is an up for me after years. It has released an increase in profit as a result of better insurance services and favorable market conditions driving high investment returns. So the interesting thing is that a lot of these insurance companies have actually recovered since the COVID pandemic, because during the pandemic itself, a lot of the insurers, they weren't actually performing, number one, because of the premiums. They were struggling to actually make money because of the pandemic back then. Plus, also, investment returns weren't that healthy. But if you see, for the more healthier ones like UOI, they seem to be actually do pretty well, because insurance at the end of the day is driven by two things. Number one is the amount of premiums they are able to collect in a highly competitive environment, which UOI has actually clearly showed that they are able to beat their competition somehow. The second one is being able to actually invest their returns. It seems like in this market, investing in fixed income assets, which is a big driver for insurance, seems to be working well for UOI so far.
UOI netted $8 million during the first quarter of the year. That is 67% better than a year earlier. And an up for UOI and its parent company, UOB. With the crisp analysis, he is Willie King. I'm Michelle Martin. Good of you to join us here on Market View. We're looking at our up or down segment and now perusing Aztec Global. What do you think?
Tricky situation here, Michelle, but I'll go with a down, because number one, growth, despite the fact that it actually announced net profits to actually increase about 18%, its overall growth actually came down 20%. So revenues would actually close, reported lower at $128 million from $116 million. So this was really due to some of its rescheduling of customer orders and the negative impact resulting from heavy snowstorms in China.
I have to agree with you there. Aztec Global is a technology solutions provider, listener. They focus on the Internet of Things, as well as data communication products and also LED lights. Aztec Global's profits are up more than 18%, even though its revenue is down, by the way. Finally, let's look at Gojek and ComfortDelGro.
So, very interestingly, Gojek and ComfortDelGro are looking to actually come into sort of a partnership. And this is really a fruition of collaboration agreement started out in 2022. And what's going to happen is that for the ride-hailing app Gojek and ComfortDelGro Taxi, they will start to dispatch rides not taken up by drivers to each other's platform. So sort of like you're trying to cross-sell the users or the customers to each other's platform. And this really comes where you are talking about competition getting more heavy in terms of ride-hailing apps. And I guess this is something interesting, especially when it's pretty difficult sometimes to find cab or taxis during peak hours. So this, for me, is an up.
I have to agree with you there. And I also have to download that Gojek app to see two competitors come together, Gojek and ComfortDelGro teaming up. So if a ride is not taken up on one platform, they'll dispatch it to the other company. It should be an up for Singapore commuters who have trouble booking a car. So definitely getting my thumbs up. Let's turn to markets now, Willie. Singapore stocks enjoyed a strong rally for the second straight session. The STI finished up 1.5% yesterday at 3272. Only one STI constituent finished the day in negative territory. That was Yangtze Junk Shipbuilding. It fell 1.7%. However, it is still by far the STI's best performing stock this year. Now, on the other end of the table, one of the year's worst performers, Hong Kong Land, led the rally yesterday with a 3.8% gain. Hong Kong Land shares got a boost from the company's directors who have pledged to buy nearly $1 million worth of Hong Kong Land shares in the open market. As someone who is bullish on Hong Kong, what do you make of this announcement?
Well, it seems like the management, it seems to be like eating their own cooking, and especially they are sort of buying at a bargain here, because Hong Kong Land has been trading at about 7% dividend yield, which is a pretty high yield compared to historical standards. So if you see for Hong Kong Land, the shareholders, the management are actually buying about close to $1 million in company's share. So it seems like they are signaling some sort of strong belief in the value and the future prospects of Hong Kong Land. If you look at Hong Kong Land itself, they do own very high quality assets. One interesting thing which struck me is that in its financial position, they don't really carry a lot of debt, which is very common for property companies. Hong Kong Land basically is not only cash rich, but most of their assets are basically paid down in terms of their debt. So they own some of the iconic assets or properties, if you see in Hong Kong, China, and even in Singapore. So if you look in Raffles area, if you see one of our town area, if you look at the central area, some of the properties like One Raffles Quay, One Raffles Link, even Marina Bay Financial Centre is actually partly owned by Hong Kong Land. So it's pretty interesting if you take a walk along down our CBD area, if you see some of these buildings, they're pretty much fully close to full occupancy here.
Well, generally speaking, I think it's always good news to just about good news to see insiders putting money into a company, particularly on the open market where they're not getting preferential rates. But Hong Kong Land's business has been suffering. It lost more than $500 million last year thanks to falling property valuations. I wonder what you make of the state of Hong Kong Land's business currently and if you think it's set for a possible rally.
So that's a very good point here. So what's some of the key risks here if you're looking into Hong Kong Land is, number one, the rise in borrowing costs or interest rates. This is something which is very unique in Hong Kong because interest rates follow very closely to US interest rates. So if interest rates continue to stay high, that could actually affect borrowing costs in Hong Kong. And on top of that, a lot of the Hong Kong properties have actually came down here such that the city is actually trying to boost, reduce the property cooling measures. For Hong Kong Land, despite their not so good results, but if you see in terms of the book value, in terms of the assets, they do own some of these high quality assets, iconic assets, which still command some form of buying power, purchasing power.
Hong Kong Land shares have lost one third of their value over the past year. They're currently trading just about $3 a share. So what do you think about buying into Hong Kong Land at this level?
That's a very good question, and it's always a very tricky one to answer. But what I would say is that if you're an investor who likes steady properties and you don't mind not having that kind of huge capital growth like what we are seeing in our US counterparts, a 7% year after year kind of income will be something interesting for an income investor or income investor's portfolio. Of course, bearing in mind like what you said earlier, that they're all risk where, you know, with the poorer property market outlook in Hong Kong, that could affect share prices going forward. However, if you focus on the income here, where it has been paying out steady dividends, this could be something which is a interesting proposition to be looking at.
Interesting proposition. My friend, the Dividend Titan, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Michelle.
Fantastic.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.